Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
So we've been talking a little bit about this story of this young woman in Springfield, Sonia Massey, who called the police. She worried that there was somebody that was on her property. She said, there's somebody coming or there's somebody here. A couple of cops show up and they canvass the property. They go around with their flashlights. You watch all of this from the body cam video. When they go inside, she eventually answers the door. It's kind of a weird interaction. The lady seems distracted. She's constantly looking at her phone. She gives them the stink eye when they ask for an ID. It's sort of like she's not helping them help her. And she's kind of odd enough in her interactions with them that you wonder if she is mentally competent or if she's on drugs. Or maybe this is just a lady that's a little peculiar and there's nothing else going on here. But she's all by herself and she's not appears to be too threatening to them. So very quickly, though, things escalate. She has a pot of water on the stove. When they ask her to turn it off, they worry that she might actually take that pot of hot water and throw it at them. So one of the officers says, maybe we ought to turn the stove off.
I don't know where my ID is.
You had a stack right there, maybe?
One second.
Check on her.
Let me get this.
We don't need a fire while we're here.
Right.
She says, we don't need a fire over here. We'll turn off the stove. You heard the officer refer to that stack over there because she's trying to find her ID. And he says, well, maybe it's over here. So it's a very calm interaction. And then it gets out of hand when they worry that maybe she's going to throw the pot of hot water at them. They shoot her. And if you've seen this, I'm not doing full justice to what happened, but it all transpires so quickly that it made me wonder, how is it that officers who can be so, you know, considerate are suddenly so violent and then shoot this woman who does not appear to be much of a threat at all? So we called a clinical psychologist, Dr. Carrie Steiner, a licensed psychologist working in private practice. Her business is First Responders Wellness Center. And this is part of our conversation from earlier today. The reason I'm asking you to talk to us today is because it was amazing to me how quickly the officers transitioned from being diligent, conscientious police officers who canvassed her property, who asked her questions, who seemed to be somewhat sympathetic to this somewhat unusual scene and person that they were called upon, to suddenly turning violent and angry, pointing their guns at her, and with relatively little provocation, shooting her. I was perplexed by how quickly they transitioned from one thing to another. And I ask myself, and I ask you, how does a police officer do that? Or why does a police officer do that?
You know, it's difficult as a police officer because things can turn very different very quickly. And so you do learn as a police officer that you can never let your guard down, and that something that seems innocent and fine can go to something that's lethal or bad. And so it's very odd for an average person to watch something that goes, that seems just seemingly simple to all of a sudden a fatal incident. But that does occur in policing. When I watched it, it seemed like things were pretty calm. Obviously, there were signs to me that it showed that maybe this person might be mentally ill or maybe under the influence. I'm not sure, but I think that the officers probably thought that as well, which again, to an average police officer, it puts you a little bit at a disadvantage because those kinds of interactions can be
hard to predict. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's harder to predict. You know, what I saw is that the officer said, hey, can you go turn the boiling water off so we don't have a fire? I think, obviously, in hindsight, I think that it would have probably been better for the officer to go over and turn the stove off and let her know that. But I think that when she did go over there, she didn't follow the directions of the officer. So that already is going to heighten an officer into, uh-oh, what's going on? And now the officer, the other officer, you know, says, hey, that's boiling water. You need to put that down. And he already is warning her that if you don't, I'm going to shoot you. And so officer has to make a choice in the use of force continuum. What would a reasonable officer do in this situation? And do I believe, when you're considering lethal force, is do I believe that this could cause me great bodily harm or death? He obviously did feel that that could be great bodily harm because he already voiced that I will shoot you for this. And she still continued to not, follow his directions and comply, which is going to increase his overall feeling of risk. And now she's ducking down. And, I have not been able to see any video of what he saw behind there. So I don't know if she was lifting the pan up to throw it, over her head or, what was going on. But obviously when she ducked down, there was more concern for her, for the officer. And then he did shoot. I know that afterwards he said, look, the water even came to me. So that is more suggestive to me that maybe he did feel like she was going to start to throw it. In general, though, when you watch body cam, it looks like the officer is farther away than he or she actually is. It probably was more threatening to the officer because he probably was closer. But obviously, if you throw water, that can go quite a distance.
What does the use of force continuum mean?
Well, generally, an officer, along with the law, says that if this happens, this is what you can use for that type of threat to you. And usually, if that threat, if somebody does not comply with you, you can actually do an open hand strike to the person. Now, most people don't do that, but you actually technically can. So if that person doesn't comply with that order or does not do what you're asking, you can go to the next step on the use of force. So you can increase your force. You don't have to wait to be shot to be able to shoot somebody.
Okay, and when you and I talked about that the other day, you suggested that was an explanation for why the officer went from being relatively docile or cooperative or sympathetic to all of the sudden saying, I will shoot your face off. And he put a cuss word in there, too. Now, granted, that was after she said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus or something like that. So,
which is also more threatening because you're not, saying rebuke as the nice thing to that person.
I understand that, especially with the boiling pot of water. And you don't know what this lady's mental state is. So then she says, I am calling on Jesus, and she has a pot of water. I understand.
Right. And she already thinks that there's somebody in her house, which may, the officers are feeling is not true. So again, that's going to heighten their overall level of risk and threat. Now, again, I'm necessarily saying that I think all officers would have done what this officer did, but again, trying to think about in his mind and what officers do in those types of situations, those are the things that officers think about.
I understand that, but I want to focus on that moment though, where it transitions instantly from a strange but quiet conversation to him saying, I'll shoot your face off. And this very large police officer with another police officer are now pointing guns at her. And seconds later, they shoot her dead. And you're suggesting to us that escalation by the police officers was not a failure of training, but in fact was an exercise of their training, since she didn't put the pot down when they told her to put the pot down, then they escalate their response to her. They go to
the next level.
They go up on the continuum. Evidently, that did not satisfy them. She still didn't cooperate. This sort of makes sense on paper, but when you do watch the video, it's an alarmingly one-way interaction. There's two officers with police guns. There's a very small, dithering lady some distance from them with a pot that we believe has boiling water in it. Sure seems to me like they could have backed away or they could have withstood her feeble attempt to throw the pot at her, that they would shoot her almost point blank dead in the head. Mm-hmm. Just seems like a enormous overreaction by the police officer.
Well, again, it's really looking at, does that officer at that time think that he could be reasonably maimed or severely injured. And I think that most people, although, you know, you don't necessarily think of scalding water as necessarily a deadly threat, I think that most people would feel that you could be severely injured or maimed by that. And so in his mind, I think that he was making a justified decision, and he felt that he was likely following the use of force continuum and the law. It doesn't matter the size of the person or what color that person is. It depends on the threat. And if he's feeling that a boiling water could severely injure or maim him, then he was feeling likely. And again, I'm not in his, you know, body or mind, but since I did hear him say, "I will shoot you for that," he obviously felt that that was enough threat that, you know, he was even warning her that this would be the next escalation.
We are not privy to what her reaction was to that, though, because she was ducked down beneath the counter.
Right, exactly. And we don't know. So they didn't shoot immediately. It's when she ducked down and then about, you know, maybe a second later. And so that's what I'm wondering. What did she do? And then again, he said, "Look, the water is over to my feet."
I believed he was saying that for the camera. He was looking for a threat reasonable enough to justify his shooting, and we now see the water, which has seeped over to where he is.
And I understand, again, a person, you know, thinking that, and that could be. However, because I was a former Chicago police officer and I've been in lethal situations and use of force incidents, The way, as a psychologist, the brain works is that when you're feeling threatened and you feel like I could, be injured or die, the limbic system comes on, and that shuts down the frontal lobe, which is in charge of thinking about long-term consequences. So the likelihood that he was able to go from, you know, feeling like this, you know, this could hurt me and I have to defend for my life to, oh my gosh, I have to somehow cover it up. I don't know if the brain has the time to really do that. I think that he, again, in his brain likely was feeling that this is how dangerous it is. And again, it may not look to the average person that way, but you also weren't in front of standing there, you know, about 2 to 3 feet from a person with boiling water that you thought might be mentally ill or under the influence. And, you know, would anybody want to be hit with a pot of boiling water?
No.
I don't think so.
No. So as to not pretend that you and I know exactly what happened on that kitchen floor at that time, we are also being asked, therefore, to believe that a small woman, maybe crouched down behind a kitchen counter with a pot of water, is such a threat to two police officers with their guns drawn that they're justified in shooting her, as if she is now going to hoist that thing somehow over her head and the boiling water is going to come over the counter and hit them, and they're justified in shooting her so as to prevent that. That's a lot. That's a lot.
And again, obviously this is going to go to trial and people are going to ask, would a reasonable officer do this? Would, does this seem justified? I'm just saying, as a psychologist, this is what I'm thinking that he might have been thinking at that time.
Yeah. And that's where that conversation ends for now. The full conversation will post to WGNRadio.com, and the Mincing Rascals will opine on that a little later on this afternoon. But that's the kind of maybe psychologist that the defense would call, and that is at least one take on that. There was one last question I asked her, and it was this: do you think that the shooting was justified? Okay, that's a defense, but was it justified? So we just played for you a large part of our conversation with Dr. Carrie Steiner, 15 years a cop, 13 years CPD. She also worked at Kane County and I think the Cook County lockups, licensed clinical psychologist now. And she works with police officers and emergency responders when they have gone through trauma. FirstRespondersWellnessCenter.com is her website and business. So she just gave you what might be a defense of how an officer so quickly transitions from being helpful to being violent and possibly murderous. He's been charged with murder. He killed a woman who came at him. No, didn't come at him, but simply had a pot of water, maybe boiling water. We don't know exactly what was in that pot, but that's what we were told. But I asked her if she felt that the shooting was justified.
Policing is not perfection. And I guess in these situations, yes, we want to look at what the officer did, but we also want to look at what the civilian or the suspect did. I've never seen an officer shoot somebody that was compliant from the very beginning. If she would have been compliant, this wouldn't have also happened. I don't know if it was justified or not. I would have to look at much more of what the officer was thinking at the time, what maybe he's saying happened behind there.
Police body cams, you know, they were there to, I think, originally protect the police from undue criticism. But as often as not, it seems like that stuff is critical of the police. Their very video is what will condemn them in this case. 813 said, I was a cop for 38 years, and you can call this Monday morning quarterbacking, if you will, but in no scenario should a gun have been fired at her. He could have backed up. Another listener said, tell this lady, our guest, to watch the full video. She and I did. The woman put the pot down and was holding up pot holders over her face. 608 said, police need to learn to separate true threats from something that is making them uncomfortable. Another one of our listeners texted in and said, why do they have to shoot to kill? I think we've all learned of late, and I know that she and I talked about this, Dr. Steiner, that if police feel like they have sufficient reason to shoot, they do not have to shoot to wound. They can shoot to kill. Civilians are not trained to respond to cops, John, but cops are trained to respond to citizens. We didn't talk about de-escalation in that conversation, but clearly there was no de-escalating going on there. John, as always, police are defended for overreacting to any little thing. Citizens are derided for having human emotions. I have no doubt without a body cam, this would have been covered up. You do hear them talking about, are their cameras still on or not, and turn it off, you'll hear them sometimes say. Another listener said, okay, but why didn't they pepper spray her? Still don't get how boiling water equals gun. John, the cop told her to approach the water to turn it off and then got scared when she did what she was told. She was obviously not completely rational, and drawing his weapon scared her to death. She just said it was justified, John. That's awful. I don't know that she just said it was justified, but she was, I think, in my ears, justifying it. She was explaining how an officer might react that way. John, it'll be interesting when we find out why the officer who did the shooting had been released from four or five other police departments. Yeah, we didn't get into that either, but that officer does not have a perfect record. I don't know how much of that actually needs to, you know, be brought to bear in this case. It is what it is, and what happened, maybe if he was an exemplary police officer beforehand, I don't think that excuses or explains what happened in that moment. And you just also remember that I think the reason I'm so interested in this case, why I reached out to a psychologist, is because on the one hand, those officers really did, a thorough good bit of police work on this woman's behalf. And then they got angry and shot her. I can't get my head around that. The full conversation at WGNradio.com on the John Williams page. We'll post our entire conversation with Dr. Steiner after the show. First of all, if you would, just let's describe your background. You were 15 years a member of the Chicago Police Department, right?
Well, I was 13 years, actually, with the Chicago Police Department. But I also worked for a year at Cook County Jail and Kane County Jail. And then I developed my own first responders wellness center because I felt like first responders weren't getting the psychological treatment that they really needed and that they felt comfortable with, because I saw too many officers that I knew that were, committing suicide or having alcohol issues, relationship issues, and PTSD and depression and anxiety. So I thought that I would leave early from the Chicago Police Department to open up my own center to be able to help that population.
And that's the first responder centers. And then what's your degree in, or what's your...
So I have a doctorate in clinical psychology. So I am a police police and public safety psychologist.
And you work with members of the police department, the EMT, first responders, often after a police shooting, after they're shot at or after they shoot someone, huh?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. When you saw this video of Sonya Massey being shot and killed in Springfield, what did you think about what you saw? The reason I'm asking you to talk to us today is because it was amazing to me how quickly the officers transitioned from being diligent, conscientious police officers who canvassed her property, who asked her questions, who seemed to be somewhat sympathetic to this somewhat unusual scene and person that they were called upon, to suddenly turning violent and angry, pointing their guns at her, and with relatively little provocation, shooting her. I was perplexed by how quickly they transitioned from one thing to another. And I asked myself, and I ask you, how does a police officer do that? Or why does a police officer do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's difficult as a police officer because things can turn very different very quickly. And so you do learn as a police officer that you can never let your guard down, and that something that seems innocent and fine can go to something that's lethal or bad. And so it's very odd for an average person to watch something that goes, that seems just mean, you know, seemingly simple to all of a sudden a fatal incident. But that does occur in policing. And I think that when I watched it, it seemed like things were pretty calm. Obviously, there were signs to me that it showed that maybe this person might be mentally ill or maybe under the influence. I'm not sure, but I think that the officers probably thought that as well, which, again, to an average police officer, it puts you a little bit at a disadvantage because those kinds of interactions can be
hard to predict. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's harder to predict, and you don't know what's necessarily going to happen. I think that, you know, what I saw is that the officer said, hey, can you go turn the boiling water off so we don't have a fire? I think, obviously, in hindsight, I think that it would have probably been better for the officer to go over and turn the stove off and let her know that. But I think that when she did go over there, she didn't follow the directions of the officer. So that already is going to heighten an officer into, uh-oh, what's going on? And now the other officer, you know, says, hey, that's boiling water. You need to put that down. And he already is warning her that if you don't, I'm going to shoot you. And so a officer has to make a choice in the use of force continuum. What would a reasonable officer do in this situation? And do I believe, when you're considering lethal force, do I believe that this could cause me great bodily harm or death? And so he obviously did feel that could be great bodily harm because he already voiced that I will shoot you for this. And she still continued to not, follow his directions. Yeah. And comply, which is going to increase his overall feeling of risk. And now she's ducking down. And, you know, I have not been able to see any video of what he saw behind there. So I don't know if she was lifting the pan up to throw it, you know, over her head or, you know, what was going on. But obviously, when she ducked down, there was more concern for her, for the officer. And then he did shoot. I know that afterwards he said, look, the water even came to me. So that is more suggestive to me that maybe he did feel like she was going to start to throw it. Again, you know, I wasn't there and I don't know. I do know that in general, though, that when you watch body cam, it looks like the officer is farther away than he or she actually is. So it probably was more threatening to the officer because he probably was closer. But obviously, if you throw water, that can go quite a distance.
What is the what does the use of force continuum mean?
Well, generally, an officer, along with the law, says that if this happens, this is what you can use for that type of threat to you. And usually, if that threat if somebody does not comply with you, you can actually do resist you, you can actually do an open hand strike to the person. Now, most people don't do that, but you actually technically can. So if that person doesn't comply with that order or does not do what you're asking, you can go to the next step on the use of force. So you can increase your force. You don't have to wait to be shot to be able to shoot somebody.
Okay, and when you and I talked about that the other day, you suggested that was an explanation for why the officer went from being relatively docile or cooperative or sympathetic to all of the sudden saying, I will shoot your face off. And he put a cuss word in there too. Now, granted, that was after she said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus or something like that. So,
which is also more threatening because you're not, saying rebuke as the nice thing to that person.
I understand that, especially with the boiling pot of water, and you don't know what this lady's mental state is. So then she says, I am calling on Jesus to strike you, and she has a pot of water. I understand.
Right. And she already thinks that there's somebody in her house, which may, the officers are feeling is not true. So again, that's going to heighten their overall level of risk and threat. Now, again, I'm necessarily saying that I think all officers would have done what this officer did, but again, trying to think about in his mind and what officers do in those types of situations, those are the things that officers think about.
I understand that, but I want to focus on that moment though, where it transitions instantly from a strange but quiet conversation to him saying, I'll shoot your face off. And this very large police officer with another police officer are now pointing guns at her. And seconds later, they shoot her dead. And you're suggesting to us that escalation by the police officers was not a failure of training, but in fact was an exercise of their training, since she didn't put the pot down. When they told her to put the pot down, then they escalate their response to her. They go to
the next level.
They go up on
the
continuum.
And
evidently that did not satisfy them. She still didn't cooperate. This sort of makes sense on paper, but when you do watch the video, it's an alarmingly one-way interaction. There's two officers with police guns. There's a very small, dithering lady some distance from them with a pot that we believe has boiling water in it. Sure seems to me like they could have backed away, or they could have withstood her feeble attempt to throw the pot at her, that they would shoot her almost point blank dead in the head. Just seems like an enormous overreaction by the police officers.
Well, again, it's really looking at, does that officer at that time think that he could be reasonably maimed or severely injured? And I think that most people, although, you don't necessarily think of scalding water as, necessarily a deadly threat, I think that most people would feel that you could be severely injured or maimed by that. And so, again, although I'm not sure every officer would, escalate to that, but that officer was already saying to him that was that. And so in his mind, I think that he was making a justified decision, and he felt that he was likely following the use of force continuum and the law. And yes, it does go very quickly, but again, it doesn't matter the size of the person or what color that person is. It depends on the threat. And if he's feeling that a boiling water could severely injure or maim him, then he was feeling likely, and again, I'm not in his, body or mind, but since I did hear him say, I will shoot you for that, he obviously felt that that was enough threat that, he was even warning her that this would be the next escalation.
We are not privy to what her reaction was to that, though, because she was ducked down beneath the counter.
Right, exactly. And we don't know. So they didn't shoot immediately. It's when she ducked down and then about, maybe a second later. And so that's what I'm wondering. What did she do? And then again, he said, look, the water is over to my feet.
Which I believed when he said that, I believed he was saying that for the camera. He was looking for a threat reasonable enough to justify his shooting. And we now see the water, which has seeped over to where he is. And my interpretation
sure.
of that.
Yeah. And I understand, again, a person, you know, thinking that. And that could be. However, because I was a former Chicago police officer and I've been in lethal situations and use of force incidents, the way and as a psychologist, the way the brain works is that when you're feeling threatened and you feel like I could, be injured or die, the limbic system comes on and that shuts down the frontal lobe, which is in charge of thinking about long-term consequences. So the likelihood that he was able to go from, feeling like this, this could hurt me and I have to defend for my life to, oh my gosh, I have to somehow cover it up. I don't know if the brain has the time to really do that. I think that he, again, in his brain likely was feeling that this is how dangerous it is. And again, it may not look to the average person that way, but you also weren't in front of standing there, about 2 to 3 feet from a person with boiling water that you thought might be mentally ill or under the influence. And, would anybody want to be hit with a pot of boiling water?
No.
I don't think so.
No. So as to not pretend that you and I know exactly what happened on that kitchen floor at that time, we are also being asked, therefore, to believe that a small woman, maybe crouched down behind a kitchen counter with a pot of water, is such a threat to two police officers with their guns drawn that they're justified in shooting her, as if she is now going to hoist that thing somehow over her head and the boiling water is going to come over the counter and hit them, and they're justified in shooting her so as to prevent that. That's a lot. That's a lot.
And again, I obviously this is going to go to trial and people are going to ask, would a reasonable officer do this? Would, does this seem justified? I'm just saying, as a psychologist, this is what I'm thinking that he might have been thinking at that time.
Yeah.
And with the words that I'm hearing and how, in general, officers do try to make that use of force decision. And I'm not saying that every single time an officer makes the correct use of force decision, or that it's justified. But I also know that, probably him, along with everybody else, would love to go back and redo that.
Oh, you could tell that right away that they regretted it for a whole host of reasons.
The information I have, and maybe that was too quick. Absolutely.
It was also frustrating, though, when the one officer said she's still breathing, but I don't know if it's worth getting the medical kit and opening one up, because evidently the injury was so catastrophic, it was apparent to them that she was not going to survive. But there was no effort to approach or help her or stanch the bleeding, at least not right away, at least until they sort of calculated that we need to appear to be concerned for this life we just took.
Right.
That's off-putting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I think, at the same time, I'm just going to say from a police officer perspective or a doctor perspective, since you're around death so often, you kind of know what is survivable and what's not. And I think that he just thought, this isn't survivable, so what's the point of that? Again, obviously the job of the police officer after something like that is to try to provide aid. But I think, again, when you're in a life or death situation, your limbic system is more activated, your frontal lobe shuts down, and so it's not going to be as logical as you're saying, well, you should try to provide aid. But if you're thinking this person's already dead, it doesn't make sense. Your limbic system is going to say, okay, we don't need to provide aid.
Well,
I get that that doesn't come across well. I get that that isn't what people want an officer to do. But again, officers are still human and you're still going to have a human response.
Well, that's why I called you. That's why I called you, because... Yeah. This is a guy who, I feel this way about virtually every police officer shooting that we've witnessed, is that that officer got up, shined their shoes that day, and they went out not with the intention of shooting and killing somebody, either offensively or defensively, justified or not justified. It's traumatic to the officers, and they may go to jail if they made the wrong call. So I can see why they, I can understand why they don't want to do that. Still, you, so I, particularly when you see the transition, as we've said, from the officers behaving the way you would hope they would. They went around the house. They looked at the suspicious black car. Just as they were about ready to leave, they said, let's just give the place one more look and make sure that you're safe, lady. And she seemed to be disinterested in their attendance. I mean, she was looking at her phone and gave them the stink eye when they asked to see an ID. So I understand. And then they go dark, these officers do. You sound very sympathetic to the officer's position and actions. Do you think that their shooting was justified, though?
You know, I'm just trying to explain how officers think or could be thinking at the point of use of force. And I think that it's very hard for an officer to make those decisions. I think it's very hard for an officer, you know, in hindsight, with the knowledge that you have and all of the information, you know, usually, yeah, you'd make a better decision. In fact, I remember when I was working in housing, public housing, and there was a lot of violence there. And we had a sergeant that came in and he said, hey, I just want to let you know that since I'm a new sergeant, if you guys do everything right and everything, you know, by the law, then, you know, and everything perfect, I will be behind you 100%. And we said, well, then we don't need you. Right? Because life is constantly fed with, you know, incidences where you can't control everything and you're going to do the best you can, but you're probably not going to do it perfect. And so we kind of bashed that sergeant and said, you know, then that you're not going to be helpful to us then at all, because policing is not perfection. And I guess in these situations, yes, we want to look at what the officer did, but we also want to look at what the civilian or the suspect did. I've never seen an officer shoot somebody that was compliant from the very beginning. If she would have been compliant, this wouldn't have also happened. I don't know if it was justified or not. I would have to look at much more of what the officer was thinking at the time, what maybe he's saying happened behind there. Again, I'm just trying to help people understand from a psychological perspective what, and also from a, you know, a training perspective, what officers go through in making that decision. Obviously, I don't think it looks good, but I don't think any killing of any other person looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's fascinating. I very much appreciate your expertise and your giving us your time today, Doctor.